Thanks for being with us today. It's Todd Zwillick. The Mueller investigation did not stop on Monday when indictments were handed down. It continues, but there's a lot to be learned from the story in those charges, the story that they tell. The indictment against former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort and his close associate Rick Gates reveals a web of international transfers and offshore bank accounts, all allegedly put in place to facilitate the flow of over $75 million. According to prosecutors, it's a window into a world of international money laundering, one that's gotten increased attention with revelations like Manafort's work in Ukraine and also document leaks like the Panama Papers. Ilya Lazovsky is editor at the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project, and we wanted him to help explain just how international money laundering can work at this level.
Well, it sure is complicated, and these schemes often are for a good reason, because they're supposed to be complicated, so they're hard to trace. But basically, what happened is that Paul Manafort and his associate did work for the former president of Ukraine, Yanukovych, and his political party. And the way they were paid for this work is by receiving money not directly into their bank accounts in the U.S. or anywhere else, but into a series of offshore firms, mostly in Cyprus, as well as in a few other places. And then from there, they would have these Cyprus firms wire transactions directly to vendors in the United States to buy property for various, home automation, lighting companies, a rug store in Virginia. And so that way they could avoid paying taxes on the money. They could avoid kind of owning it themselves. And instead it would pass through this offshore entity.
And let's stress that this 12-count indictment has been released against these two gentlemen. They're innocent of these charges until proven guilty. But Ilya, why Cyprus? It's been reported that Cyprus is a favorite banking destination for Russians hoping to spirit money out of their country. Why use it here, allegedly?
Well, it's, these are always going to be speculations. We don't know why they chose specifically Cyprus. Probably it's because Cyprus, as you said, has been a favored destination, not just for Russian, but for people throughout the former Soviet Union, including Ukraine. So if Paul Manafort is collaborating, working with, being paid by these kind of people, they have connections, they have registration agents and lawyers that they're familiar with that can make these connections. They know what they're doing. This is just speculation, but presumably they were advised that this is how we do things and this is what we suggest for you to do.
And what about the alleged ties to U.S. lobbying firms here? Not just Manafort in on the act, but lobbying firms we now presume Mercury LLC and the Podesta Group in the indictment, companies A and B, getting paid through offshore accounts themselves.
Yeah, this is just a sort of another element of this scheme. It's interesting that not only were the Podesta Group and Mercury paid from these offshore accounts, but the contracts they signed to do the job wasn't even with Manafort or Gates. It was with now defunct organization in Brussels called the European Center for a Modern Ukraine. You know, you can launder money. You can also, in a sense, launder contracts or connections. This is how the Podesta Group and Mercury were able to say, we are not dealing on behalf of a foreign government because really we're getting this contract from this think tank in Brussels. That's how they justified not registering as a foreign agent. And in the indictment, it actually says this is how they justify, these are the talking points they were using to defend themselves when these things were reported last year. The talking points literally said, look, don't ask me about these contracts or these payments or the work. I literally just introduced these people to one another. The client, Podesta Group and Mercury, their client is this think tank in Brussels, when really it was allegedly Manafort and Gates who were doing the work.
Well, Ilya, all of this movement of millions through offshore accounts and shell companies, is the ability to do this an inevitable symptom of a financial system that you want to be fluid? I mean, you want legitimate money to be able to move relatively easily so that it enables commerce. But are there inherent weaknesses in a financial system where people can use layers and layers of shell companies, allegedly, and move money through this country or that country and hide financial crimes?
Absolutely. Of course, you want to be able to move money around the world. Our global economy couldn't work without it. But the problem is the lack of transparency. And it's not just Cyprus. This happens in the UK. This happens in Delaware. This happens in other jurisdictions all over the world. And in a sense, this financial system, which allows our economy to exist, is also enabling some really unscrupulous actors who are operating in countries with weak rule of law, sometimes with authoritarian regimes. It's sort of a political economic nexus that allows them to steal money from the state budget, from their own people. Then they don't want to keep the money in those countries, so they want to move it somewhere safe, and they launder it through these offshores, and then it ends up in the West, invested in properties in New York, in London, in Florida, and now it's protected in a democratic country with rule of law. And of course, the financial system is enabling this kind of behavior, and we really need to look at transparency and improving the ability to track these flows. And it, as I said, it's not just Cyprus. London is actually a very particularly notorious center where this kind of activity goes on.
Well, are any lawmakers in the UK or the United States gunning for more transparency, and who fights against it when they try?
There have been some initiatives, I think, in both countries, partially in response to reporting that my organization, OCCRP, and others have done. I think the rules have been tightened gradually over the years, but it's just not an issue that is easy to explain to people. One of the challenges of reporting on this topic is just how complicated this is, and of course that's the design. So it's hard to explain this as an issue, as a rallying cry, especially when people see it as something that doesn't concern them immediately. And of course there are always business interests calling for as few restrictions as possible. People talk about privacy, people talk about, you know, the ability to conduct legitimate business transactions in a way that protects their privacy. And of course, you have to balance these things. There's no easy solution, or it would have been done by now. But you have to really take a look at the damage that's happening here also.
The complicated web of offshore banking and shell companies that can enable money laundering. Ilya Lazovsky, editor at the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project. Thanks for being here.
Thanks very much for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.